the Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We welcome back a friend and a fine guest. He is John Nichols from The Nation. John, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
What an honor to be with you, my friend.
Always an honor to have you on the big show, John.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Buddy, these are strange times, and I'm going to pick a point of contention with you, and maybe I've already done this, John, once, but I'm going to do it again. Don't mean to embarrass you on the airwaves.
Don't worry.
But, John, when I asked you how 50 million Trumpsters were going to react to the failure to see their exalted leader lifted up to the presidency, you said, oh, they'll get over it. They'll head back and shovel some snow, perhaps. John, they weren't shoveling snow. They were seditious. Do you want to amend your prior answer, John?
Well, I don't know if all 50 million of them were out there. You know, I mean, right. You're overestimating the crowd size.
Well, I only took that from the Trumpsters. They said there were at least half a million of them out there. I would guess the crowd closer to 10,000, but please continue, John.
But with that said, I'm afraid I got to amend. You know, I gave them more credit, you know, and you know, mark this down in my book. I gave them more credit than some folks. I thought maybe they would, they would come around to being on the side of, I don't know, the Republic, the Constitution, democracy, you run the list. And the fact is, I will still hold that there's a decent number of Trump backers who might not be fully seditious.
Good people on both sides, I hear, John.
Yeah, they did not acquit themselves well on January 6th, and they continued to acquit themselves very poorly. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is that, the folks who invaded the Capitol, you know, many of them are being charged with crimes and hopefully held to account. But, you know, I'm always concerned about the people that told them the lies in the first place, right? And that's where the problem lies. I mean, we have a United States senator that held a hearing, literally put into the official record of the United States Senate, lies and conspiracy theories that paralleled what the people who invaded the Capitol were thinking. And now that senator just cast a vote this week to shut down a trial of Donald Trump for inciting insurrection, and has actually threatened to hold up Trump nomination or hold up Biden nominations for cabinet posts and other positions, even in the area of national security, because he's upset that Trump might be held to account. So, you know, I will amend my statement to say I underestimated what a deplorable person Ron Johnson is.
You know, you had me going there for a second, John Nichols. I know you wrote a recent piece at The Nation. Rand Paul is a monarchist and Donald Trump is his king. You brought up the fact that Rand Paul effectively is carrying forward the fiction that Trump cannot be impeached. It's unconstitutional. Of course, he's not the only one, but he's the most prominent one. But I had the two figures confused for a moment. You know, Rand Paul and Ron Johnson, they do kind of run in the same circles, John. But why did Rand Paul become the central focus of your recent article?
Well, I mean, he's got a cooler name than Ron Johnson, right?
At least he's not Dick Johnson, but please continue.
That is it. Rand Paul is a hip name, you know, he still claims he's not named after Enron, but I'm pretty sure he is. And you know, the reason that I focused on him is because he likes to perpetuate the fantasy that he's all about the Constitution, right? That he's all into the Constitution and he wants to defend it and blah, blah, blah. And then he got in there and he literally lied. He lied on the floor of the Senate. He lied to his colleagues. He lied to the American people as somebody who's positioned himself as a big defender of the Constitution and claimed that it's unconstitutional to impeach, try, and convict a former president of the United States. That is unquestionably uncontrovertibly, unequivocally false. There's no question that what he said was false. It goes against the intentions of the document. It goes against the document itself, which in no way suggests that you can't impeach a former president. And I thought he needed to be called out, but I also thought he needed to be called out not just on the constitutional wrong, right? Not that just that he's interpreting the Constitution wrong, but that he's going against its basic premise. We wrote the impeachment power into our Constitution in 1787. I personally was not there, but I'm speaking as an American.
Ron Paul might have been there, but please continue, John.
It's possible. I think Patrick Leahy was there. But we wrote that into the Constitution because this country had just fought a revolution against the king. And there was an understanding on the part of the founders, imperfect men who recognized their own imperfections, that given the awesome power of the presidency, some future presidents might try to make themselves kings. It had happened in other places. This was not an unheard of concept. The monarchy was something they knew better, frankly, than democracy. And so they put the impeachment power in. And they even said in the debates at the Constitutional Convention, yeah, you know, our big deal here, our big intent here is to make sure that somebody who's got this job doesn't abuse it in a way that they can perpetuate themselves in power or extend their power beyond what it should be. Well, that's exactly what Donald Trump did. They actually discussed specifically the problem of a president like Donald Trump. And yet Rand Paul will stand there and say, oh, no, well, you can't hold this guy to account because he finished his term. And you say, well, yeah, but you could have held him to account in the week after the House impeached him. But Mitch McConnell, who's the biggest, literally the biggest, you know, scam artist in the history of American politics, I'll put him at the top of the list. Mitch McConnell says, oh, well, I'm very concerned about Donald Trump. Definitely, he incited this stuff. He's a bad guy. But we got to wait till the next Senate is seated. They did not have to wait for that. They did not have to wait at all. And so what happened was you had two con artists. Mitch McConnell says, oh, we got to delay till the new Senate comes along. And then Rand Paul comes up and says, oh, you can't impeach. You can't try and convict now because he's no longer in office. And then amazingly enough, Mitch McConnell, who had said, oh, we'll wait for the new Senate, votes with Rand Paul to say it's unconstitutional for the new Senate to take it up. I mean, if you trick this into a court of law and you said, yeah, here's the scam these guys were playing, you'd send them up for 40 years. They are completely at odds with the basic premises of the Constitution. They are completely at odds with their oaths of office, and they are doing it for a monarchical purpose. They are doing it as petty royalists who want to protect their king, their deposed king. His name is Donald John Trump, and they want King Donald to look favorably upon them. Well, I think they sinned against the basic premises of the American experiment. John, and by the way, Ron Johnson joined him.
What's going to happen to Ron?
Well, he joined him
Of course
did. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I don't know if there are strong enough words to describe how anti-American, what these folks are doing is. This is the core concept of the American experiment. They're at odds with it.
So, John, you wrote about the constitutional claims of a self-certified ophthalmologist in Rand Paul, but did you notice the...
And can I stop you, by the way?
Sure.
Because I don't want to be, you know, referred to by his professional title. Also, good neighbor.
When you inspire that sort of neighborly attitude when someone's ready to beat your ass in the backyard... You know, you must be a hell of a neighbor, but let's talk about our good neighbor, former gubernator of the great state of Wisconsin, Scotty Wanker. Scott Walker, John, has been out there making the very same unconstitutional claim loud and on media and on the social mediums to the point where PolitiFact Wisconsin had to rate the claim and they called him mostly false, and then he's whining about the liberal fact checkers, John. Typical Republican. Yeah. What do you think of the wanker?
Well, here's the thing. I've known him for a long time, and he's always had a little bit of a challenge with the truth. I think that's fair to say.
Well, that's the most generous way you could say it.
Yeah, and I am not surprised that Scott Walker doesn't like fact checkers, because I don't think he likes facts. You know, my sense is that he has come to recognize that facts have a liberal bias, and the facts are not on his side. He is wrong about economics. He's wrong about social policy. He's wrong about politics. He's pretty much wrong about everything. In fact, I would dare say, now you two are such precise figures, you probably remember recently that he was tweeting something about going out and supporting local businesses and having pizza.
Yeah.
And he used a picture from like before the pandemic.
Well, that's, John, that's because he mostly supports foreign corporations to the tune of like $4.5 billion. Inexplicably, they didn't create enough jobs or build the factory they promised. But we, the taxpayers, we're still on the hook for wanker's folly.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocate, John Nichols, National Affairs Correspondent with The Nation Magazine, joining us on the phone. John, thank you. Happy Friday, man. Just want to get your sense. Josh Hawley, of course, knee-deep in this, along with Ted Cruz. I saw that you are, and many others, are calling for his expulsion from the Senate. How do you think this is going to play out, John?
They're not going to expel him. You know, there is no honor among thieves, right? And that's an important thing to understand. I would sadly anticipate that even most Democrats are probably disinclined to bring up the question of expelling Josh Hawley. But that doesn't change the fact that he should be expelled. And it's notable that, you know, his hometown papers in Missouri are calling, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the Kansas City Star are saying that he should not be in the Senate. Kansas City Star is saying specifically he should be expelled. His own mentor in politics, John Danforth, the former U.S. Senator from Missouri, saying, you know, disowning him and saying, you know, look, I want nothing to do with this guy. I'm ashamed that I brought him up politically. And so we should recognize the reality that what he has done is not just an opinion. You don't expel somebody for an opinion. You don't expel somebody for taking a stand. Even a wrong stand, I think you can do that. But what you talked about expulsion with him on is, this guy, as John Danforth said, was responsible for what happened on January 6th. Now, you know, Donald Trump had a role in it, no doubt about it. He should be impeached and removed for it. But remember, it was Josh Hawley who on December 30th said, I'll support that challenge to the results coming in from, you know, Wisconsin and Arizona and Pennsylvania and other states. I'll support that challenge. If Hawley had not done that, then all the events of January 6th would have been a very different dynamic, because you wouldn't have had the senatorial challenge going along with the House challenge. You wouldn't have had, you know, the literally the debate that was going on. And so, you know, he is part and parcel of this thing, right there, literally making possible Donald Trump's, you know, incitement to insurrection. So, you know, it's great to impeach Trump and try him and convict him. I support that 100%. But it's pretty bizarre to have somebody serving as a juror on that trial who literally made possible what Trump did.
A co-conspirator.
Yeah, but Ron Johnson was a witness in the first impeachment trial, and he voted to acquit too. John Nichols, National Affairs Correspondent with The Nation. Thank you so much, John. Have a wonderful weekend. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
Thanks, John.
Take care.
Freedom.
Sedition.